I'm Stacey Mulcahy. I'm a technical evangelist from New York City, and I'm currently displaced in Seattle working out of the Maker Garage over on the Microsoft campus, which is a beautiful, huge place to go, and it's just for makers, and you've got everything you can imagine. It's pretty much a candy store. So I've been here for a couple of days, and I've been building a bunch of stuff that I'm really excited to kind of walk you through and show you. And today, I'm going to go through a project that I did that I'm sure it has a practical purpose. I don't know what it is yet, but it's definitely a project that I worked on, and I'm still kind of adding to it as we go along. So one day I had this idea, basically that I was thinking about, you know, stuff that's going on, music that we listen to today, and we were at a hackathon really late one night, and, you know, we're jamming away, working on stuff, and you get a little loopy about 3 a.m. or so, right? That starts to kick in, you've had too much coffee, yeah, everything's kind of going crazy, you're not being very productive, and you get a little loopy, and we started, you know, doing this thing where we're singing songs, but we were dropping bass all night long, and so we were, like, totally doing the wub, 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 like, dubstep thing. And it became like interior kind of or internal joke between us. And we kept doing it all night long. And I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if you could make, you know, something that you could dynamically kind of drop bass like Skrillex? And so, you know, I looked up Skrillex and I looked up a picture and I was like, oh, okay, I wonder if I could convert that. And then I thought about it some more and I was like, found myself, I can't even explain why, but found myself searching for puppets. And so I ended up finding a T-Rex puppet. And so then I added some hair and I made it T-Skrill Rex. And so what I did is I took this item here, and once again, it's just like, you know, a basic puppet, and I put in a bendy sensor. And so it's a force resistant sensor, and I molded it in the mouth against some cardboard. And so what happens is that as you bend it like this, I can get values. And so I'm starting to get values between a range. And, you know, depending on how you set it up, the range is different. So you've got to kind of calibrate it. But I'm getting this kind of range here. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be awesome if, you know, when this guy starts to kind of like, you know, let it roar, and someone said burp once, which I thought was kind of funny too, but like let it roar, that it's actually dropping bass. And so that I could control or, you know, orchestrate or kind of DJ on the fly, you know, using something along those lines in terms of a physical input, you know, to have a digital output. And so I constructed this, and it's very, very simple. And it's a simple bendy sensor, and I think I have one around here somewhere. I do. And so we'll take a better look at this in the camera, but it's just a simple flex sensor, and it's got these two kind of little inputs. And once again, we'll take a closer look at this. And all you do is you just kind of solder to these, and you read them through the analog, and you get values. And so, you know, once you kind of start to read them, you take a look, and you start to see, okay, well, my low value when it's flat or you know, when it's kind of semi-bended or whatever is going to be 500. My large value is 700. And then you just map against those values. And so, you know, you can start to create percentages. Or if you think about volume, you can start to create 0 to 100 in volume. Or you can say, you know, if it's at, you know, 80%, I want to start this a song or a new sound or whatnot. So that's kind of, you know, how I started going along the routes for it. And once again, just a simple, simple sensor that I had. And I thought, what's a practical application? It's not so practical. But now I have this Skrill T-Rex that I can kind of just go through, and I can play a song, and he'll drop some bass on top of that song. And so my next step after, you know, creating the hardware bit was kind of figuring out, how am I going to write this in software? Like, what is this going to look like? And it's only so exciting to see this. Like, I need some kind of feedback for that. And can I draw some of the sound? And can I play with a little bit of those things? And so I found myself actually working, I used with Arduino Uno to do the sensor, because it's dead easy. I didn't need anything with a lot of power. And then I used, on top of an Uno, I used processing. And so if you haven't used processing before, processing is a program that was created or intended for creative coders. And it was created by a couple of people at MIT, and it is really actually quite a powerful programming, I would say, platform almost at this point, because there's so many plugins, there's so many things that you can start to do with it. And so it's very much an easy language to pick up. It's based on, the underlyings are Java, but it's abstracted, so it feels very much like you can get up and running and prototyping very, very quick. And so you'll see there's all sorts of functions, and I'll walk through a little bit of code. And so I started to look at processing, because processing can read the serial connection from the Arduino. Because the Arduino, what it's going to do is it's just going to take that item and it's going to serial print it. And I'm going to load what's called Fermata on the Arduino. And Fermata, standard Fermata, just allows it to kind of communicate through the serial. It doesn't do anything else. So you don't really have to write a program for the Arduino, which then, processing on top writes again. You just kind of like hook into that Fermata and start reading from the serial port. Now, if I was doing something different where I wanted to, not just read a value all the time, but I needed to have the Arduino power something repeatedly, let's say I just wanted to blink, I wanted to put in LED eyes and I just wanted to blink them 10 times, then I have to start working on the Arduino as opposed to something like processing, because I'm going to probably want to blink and I'm going to probably want to delay that signal. And so processing is going to run on a loop, and you don't want to delay the loop that's going on. It needs to constantly be checking that. And so, there's a couple of things along those lines that you get into that are, nitpicky, and we can walk through a little bit of the code. But, again, Arduino, just standard Fermata. Processing is reading the serial information, and so I'm just doing an analog read on that pin. I'm getting those values. I map those values, and then now I can do whatever I want with them. And so I decided, I'm going to play some sound. I'm going to like do attacks. So I'm going to like start the sound at a certain percentage, raise the volume, that kind of thing. And then on top of that, with processing, what I did is I looked and I thought, well, is there a way to create a visual feedback that's interesting? So it's not just audio, but could I actually be creating some kind of visual feedback? And so what I did is I captured the webcam. And then in capturing the webcam, I drop back to basically the canvas, if you want to call it that, in processing. And, I did some fun stuff in terms of reading the pixels in the camera data and creating this visual. And then I map the sound against that. And so I'm creating this kind of dynamically generated visual that is easily, I can change a line of code. It totally changes how it looks. And I can save out that image. So, now I'm starting to build something where it's taking a sensor to create something that's dynamic that I can save out, that I can go to upload on Azure and Blob Storage, or I can, put it on a site or put it to my OneDrive or whatever I need to do. And I'm starting to fulfill that kind of experiential loop almost. So that's kind of the process I went through in terms of building this item, but perhaps we can kind of see it in action. So I'm going to kind of start this, and we'll have to show my screen, and you'll see kind of what's going on. And I don't know if we'll be able to capture it fully, but, there will be a point where I'm opening and closing, and it's going to affect what you see on the screen. So let's see how this runs. All right, so we've got Squirrel T-Rex with his nice side sweep hair here. I just needed glasses, just never got around to that, but, little features bit by bit. And what we're going to do is I'm going to start this processing sketch, and I'll kind of go through it for you. But let's just kind of see it in action so that we know what we're dealing with. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's basically drawing all those things back, and I'm taking that video feed, and what I'm doing is I'm basically mapping all the colors, and I'm just adding shapes, those kind of things. I could totally, change a couple of the way that some of that looks quite easily by changing a couple lines of code. But, you know, drawing back those shapes, creating something interesting. And then what I do is if, you know, every time I want to play some bass, I just open up the T-Rex's mouth and it just starts to play a song and then maps the volume based on how open the mouth is. And then the other thing is, you know, what I've been doing is I can look and I can create, you know, images from the output if I want to take a look at those images. So now I can start to actually create compositions from what people are doing in front of the screen. So, you know, that's really in a nutshell where it started. Where it's going to end, I really have absolutely no idea. But, you know, the idea there was just to kind of get a prototype up and running. Ideally, what I'd love to do is I'd love to tap in through MIDI into something like Ableton, which is what they actually use to create dubstep. And so in that, you know, point, or that point, once I do that, I can start to, you know, create control certain tracks, create volume, you know, create attacks, those kind of things, and use the actual program that they use to DJ something along those lines in. But, you know, for now, for a prototype, it worked out pretty quick. And so I'm going to walk through some of the code and give you a sense of how it works, so just so you have an idea. So again, you can get processing. If you're going to use processing and you want to connect to an Arduino and you're on Windows, you should get the 32-bit because it supports a serial. Sounds weird, but, you know, that's what you need to do. So you can download processing. You can also download the Arduino IDE. For the Arduino IDE, there is a plugin that will, you know, in some episode at some point, we'll walk through. And it's for Visual Studio, and it's really great. It's once you start working in Visual Studio with the Arduino, with Arduino, you know, any kind of stuff that you're doing along those lines, you won't want to go back to the Arduino IDE. It gives you the ability to select your targets. You can say, I want, you know, a version of Arduino. You can, you know, you get code hinting. You get all that kind of good stuff with it. So it definitely makes working in these environments a little bit better. One thing to note that if you are going to start working with Arduino or something like processing, you know, the IDEs are simple. They're not crazy, full-featured things you might be used to if you're coming from something like Visual Studio. They're very, very simple. Sometimes they can be initially frustrating. Sometimes they're really refreshing because they are so simple. So just keep that in mind when you start working with them. For me, I'm using the latest version of processing, and processing is a language that you can create basically like you saw, an executable like an app, or you can, you know, there's a bunch of things that processing can kind of export to. You can create an applet. Everyone loves an applet. You can put it on the web if you wanted to. And they actually just ported most of the processing stuff to processing, you know, libraries for JavaScript. So if you're a JavaScript person, you can get a lot of this built-in awesome functionality right off the bat, and some of the libraries really make some things super, super easy for you. So I'm using just basic processing here, and processing, when you start to look at it, it will seem very familiar. You know, coming from other languages, there's a lot of things that are you know, quite the same, and you get used to some of the syntax. You know, and the thing with processing is if you go to the library, there's tons of examples, there's tons of resources, and the community is quite large. There's a really great site, too, that you can take a look at. It's I think it's called openprocessing.org, and you can go there and get a whole bunch of open processing sketches, basically. And that's what they're considered or they're called. When you start to, you know, code something and you're working in it, whether you're in Arduino or processing, they both call them a sketch. And so, you know, when you think about that term, take that term to heart. A sketch is really usually something that's quick and dirty, and you're getting it out there and allows you to communicate your idea in a very quick way. And you can always refine it and make it something more if you want. So just to kind of go through what I'm doing, for processing, what I'm using is I'm importing processing.serial because I want serial communication. And I'm also importing Arduino libraries, which you can download. You just search for Arduino processing and you'll find the libraries you need to download. Now, you can include libraries in processing, and there's a bunch of ways to do it. you can import a library here. So you'll start to see that I have a couple of libraries, like the Arduino for Mata, you know, other whatever they may be. It comes with a bunch of libraries as well. So when you start playing with processing, you can look into some of these libraries and open up the examples and start playing with the examples they give you. Both Arduino and processing give you a bunch of things that you can start with so that you don't have to worry about the code right off the bat. You can kind of just play a little bit. So, you know, I've got both these libraries. These are mostly for Arduino up here. I'm using a Minim library, and that has to do with audio. So it's a library that you can use. It's fairly extensive. There's a lot of things you can do with it. Documentation, maybe not so detailed. Or in terms of like really complex examples, but it's pretty good. You can get up and running. Like, you know, I did this whole project. I didn't know a lot of processing at all, and I pretty much, you know, stabbed this out in an hour. So, you know, again, Minim, I imported a couple libraries in Minim because I was going to try to do some of the stuff with what they have is like generators, and you can create sound effects, but I didn't get that far. And then I'm also, because I'm dealing with the webcam, I'm importing a video library. And then, you know, I'm going down and you'll see things I have like columns and rows because I want columns and rows of video pixels, for example. I have capture video, which is basically going to be that capture object. That's how you capture video in processing. I have an image that I want to output. So that's the image you see to the screen. It's constantly being drawn. So I'm taking that video feed and constantly drawing an image of some sort from the data that I'm getting from the video feed. And then I've got some kind of functions here that are related to, you know, figuring out that kind of average pixel value for an area. So if you think about the screen, and before I add any kind of effects to it, I'm kind of creating a pixelization of the screen. So instead of pixel by pixel, I'm actually dealing with areas of like 10, 10, 10. So it's like kind of like that pixelation, you know, effect. And so I can change the size of that individual kind of square or that column and row if I want. And so I do have options here where I can kind of change the granularity, if you will. So I might be working with like rows of 10 and 10 right now, but I could go down to 8 or 5 or that kind of thing. You know, and then I have just a bunch of kind of variables that are instantiated that deal with sound. You know, if something is triggered, you know, really basic kind of stuff. The one thing to notice here, and I say basic because, you know, if you haven't seen this, it's probably not basic, but, you know, just instantiating variables that I'm going to use. I have the serial my port, and this is basically, you know, in case I want to use, there's two ways to communicate with Arduino from processing. You can just go right through serial like that, or you can use the Arduino library. And so, as I go through, there's two things to really notice, and you'll start to see this in Arduino a lot in processing, and that's why the sketches tend to look a lot, quite a bit, is that you'll have two functions, and one is called setup, and the other one's called loop. And setup is where you initialize anything. You might set the screen size. You might set the color of the background. You might initialize variables. You might set frame rate, you know, all those kind of things. And then in loop is just basically that drawback loop that's going to be looping all the time. And if you specify the frame rate, it is going to, you know, draw back at that. So, you know, 60 times a second or whatever it may be. So those are the kind of things you do in setup, is just setting up all of your variables. And for me, for example, I'm setting the size of the screen I want to capture. I'm setting up the frame rate, the background. You know, I'm saying like no stroke at this point. Which basically means that anything that gets drawn to the screen don't add a stroke yet. You know, and I'm going through a bunch of things here about capturing the video. So, you know, for video, it'll give you a list of cameras. And this is pretty common in a lot of languages when you go to use anything with the webcam. You kind of get a list of available cameras because someone might have their webcam on their computer, but they also might have a USB webcam or they might have something else, right? And so I'm capturing that video feed, and then I'm starting it because I want to start capturing it. And this is where I actually communicate to the Arduino. I decided to use the Arduino library that I imported. And so it's really simple. I just basically say, hey, you know, give me a new instance of this Arduino. you know, path it to this, give me the first item in the Arduino list. So if you had multiple Arduinos connected, for example, it would give you a list of those items, you know, and give me the baud rate I kind of want to communicate at. And so that's, you know, how I'm communicating to it. And then I set up some pins in terms of like what I need. And so originally, or actually an addition I'm going to have, is I'm going to have buttons that do foghorns, which is a little ridiculous. But so you'll see my first one, Arduino pin mode 11, Arduino output. What that means is that I'm saying, okay, for go to the Arduino, tell the pin mode of pin number 11, which is going to be a digital pin. I want it to be output only. Like I'm only going to get output from it. And then I'm going to say, you know, for the next one, tell the pin number 2, whatever that one, that it's only going to be, input, for example. So you can start to see where I'm getting those things from. So, you know, input, for example, that might be an LED I might connect. If I want to make it a button, you know, I could put output, for example. You know, and then as I start to go through, I create an array of possible dubstep kind of wave files that I could play, loops that I could possibly play, so that, you know, it's not always the same thing over and over. And then once again, I could map that to something else. That could be another sensor of some sort. And then I'm going through and I'm basically creating a new instance of Minim, which is kind of the overarching sound player. It'll help you play sounds and manage them. And I instantiate some sounds here. For example, I have bass, which is just, you know, load this file and I pick, you know, the fourth one from samples. I could pick anything here. I could make it random if I wanted to. And then I have my background music being player, and I load in an MP3, and I'm setting the gain. And so one of the things to note is usually you'll go into Minim and you'll think, oh, set the volume, and that's not always going to work. So you have to kind of see how your computer is configured and what's available. And so you kind of, what you basically do is you can ask, like, do you have gain? Do you have volume? It's in the API for Minim. And once you find out what you do have, then you need to use that. So I don't, for example, on my computer, it doesn't support volume. It supports gain. So I actually do, I'm setting the gain. And the gain, according to, you know, what outputted, goes from, so 0 would be negative 80 to a volume of 100, or top volume would be 0. So it's kind of a weird scale. At least I'm sure it makes sense in terms of how it's built, but, you know, in terms of volume, how you think 0 to 100, you've got to map it. And then I have a horn that I'm going to instantiate at some point, but I haven't used. And I start to play the background sound, and then I load a random file just for the bass so that I can load it, and it's kind of in memory. And I look at the has triggered, and basically I say, have I triggered a sound yet? No, it's just a Boolean I'm going to carry. But I just kind of wanted to walk you through a little bit of, you know, how these items look like and how they work. I have a function called load random file, so I can load a random file that is going to be the bass that I'm going to drop, you know, and I'm going to rewind it and then play it and then forever loop it. Those kind of things that you're kind of probably common or have seen before in other things. I guess one of the more interesting functions is going to be the draw function. And so what I'm doing here, you have to excuse the formatting. It's, even though you can auto-format in here, doesn't seem to really like it that much. So what I'm doing here, the draw function is really the most important. And I'm capturing the value of the pin in for analog read for 0. And so what that means is that the pin, which is going to be my sensor, it's an analog sensor, and so it's connected to pin 0. And so I want to read that value every time the frame updates or every time it's being drawn. And then what I do is I take that value, and because I've been watching the values, and this is what I mean by calibrating, you put your sensor in, you start to play with it, and you start to see the values you get. And so for me, I was noticing that my low values were about 535, 540, and that my high values were about 565 or 565, 570. So 570 would be wide open for the mouth, for example, and 540 or 541 would be closed. And then what I did is I mapped them to the gain. So I mapped them to minus 60, you know, so it's not quite 0% volume, but, you know, I wanted something a little bit above that, and then zero. And so I get that percent from the analog input, and then I set that percent as the gain. So now I've taken this value, this range between the sensor that can be anything between 541, 567, and I've said, okay, well, give me, you know, what the, basically map that value to what the gain should be in terms of kind of like a percent. And so that affects the volume. And then going through here, when I'm adding my button, and this is one thing that you don't necessarily see quite yet, I'm going to add my foghorn button, but this is another example to show you, and I'll put this up on my repo that we can link to in here, and so it'll be complete, but you'll see that I'm just reading a digital pin 2, and I'm saying if it's high, you know, if someone's pressed it or whatnot, you know, play the horn. So it's going to be the idea of like triggering a foghorn, right? So very, very simple in terms of getting your sensor input. But now if we look at the video output to what's going on to the screen, I'm basically saying if the video is available, I want to read it and give me the pixels. And so then I loop through all the pixels and I get the average colors based on the sampling size. So that pixelization grid, I just want the average kind of pixels. And then I go through and I get that kind of sense of what those pixels are. And then these are some of the things you can do that are really awesome in processing, is that I'm just creating triangles, circles, and rects. And they're all just random sizes based on certain kind of values that are coming into play, a lot of them being the filter size or the size of the grid. I can use the size of the amplitude from the audio if I want. So I just chose to kind of keep it simple and create a couple of random values. And I'm just drawing, you know, triangles, ellipse, rects. I could change the color of one of these. I could, and once again, these are being drawn with the color that it's being sampled. So that's why it's still looking like a video. So I take that average color and I'm, you know, using that color. I'm using that color, but you know, I'm creating the size based on kind of that sampling rate, and I'm drawing those to the screen. And then after I've drawn those, here's an example of, and I took this right from the docs, so I can't, you know, take any credit for this, but I'm drawing basically those lines that you see, the white lines, you know, based on kind of the amplitude of the audio. And so you'll see, for example, here, I'm getting, you know, I'm looping for the buffer size, and then I'm mapping those volumes to the, you know, I'm mapping all those kind of values to the size of the screen, you know, to the position of where it should be, and then I'm just adding strokes. And so they're just constantly getting kind of drawn. And so once again, very, very simple. But, you know, right out of just something that Minim gives you in terms of data that you can get of the left and right, for example, and things of like creating like a audio kind of analyzer. And so, you know, the rest of it's fairly simple. You can do, you know, capturing key presses, those kind of things, which I do if I want to, you know, create the size, make the size of the grid that I'm looking at bigger or smaller. You know, I can enable things, etc. So not really stepping through line by line by line here, but you kind of do get the idea of how easy it is to go ahead and capture something like video, for example, capture the pixels against it, do something interesting right to the screen. And then I have a very simple save function. And, you know, so if someone presses spacebar, I capture it on a key press, and they can save it out. And it is literally, all it is this function right here, and it saves it. So I give it a random name and everything else, but this will save it, you know, exactly where you want, you know, you can put where you want it. But you don't need to do anything else. It just takes a snapshot of whatever size you've set your canvas to, and it saves it. So now I can have like a Node app that's going to read this folder. And once it sees that there's, you know, been something updated, it's just going to go and update it to my OneDrive. So I'm constantly saving those images away. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, the code in a nutshell in terms of how those items work, you know, when using processing and using Arduino. But it gives you a sense of, you know, how much code it took to write what you saw on the screen. It really wasn't a lot. If I didn't do any of the visualization stuff, this was pretty much done in 10 minutes. It's the visualization stuff that takes a little bit of time because you're tweaking stuff and you want things to look a certain way and capture them that way. But, you know, just an idea of something that you can potentially be doing, in a different language or a little bit maybe out of the comfort zone to play with something else. Now, a lot of people ask why use processing, and I guess my answer for why I use processing is that, I don't know why not is kind of what I want to say, but it gives you a lot of those things right out of the box. It's really easy. And so now I can start to create a visual, because if you're looking at Arduino, it's really great for capturing input and it's great for that kind of stuff, but it doesn't have a lot of memory, right? So if you want to do things that require any kind of something outside of it, you need to use almost like another layer on top of it. And so you can use a lot of things. You can use Node. There's NodeBots, which, you know, controls Arduino. I'm using processing. Capture these things a variety of ways. It's really up to you how you want to work. But for me, the reason why I'm using processing here is mostly for the visual. It's for the sound, handling all the sound, doing those kind of things that will really allow me to kind of take it a little bit further than, you know, what I want to do. The other thing with something like processing is now if I want to go and grab an RSS feed or start working with an API or something along those lines, I can easily do it. So, it's one more reason to add something else into your toolkit. Now, you know, this could be written or created a variety of ways. And so I highly recommend, you know, kind of trying out a couple different things and playing with things to see how they work and see what you're most comfortable with. You know, there's some limitations to what I'm doing. Obviously, it's connected to my computer. You know, it would be awesome to have something that's Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, right? That would be the next step so that anyone can come up and, you know, start using it and that kind of thing. But, you know, just as you start working with these things, and for me personally, it was just getting it up and running as fast as I could. And so from start to finish, this project took about, it took me no time to mod the Poppet. And then, you know, to write the code was a couple of hours. So, you know, a really good kind of weekend project for you. All right. So project number one, done. We've only got, I don't know, like 6 or 8 more to go. But hey, you never know what you're going to find when you see a T-Rex.